Hey, what's up? It's your pal EZ with another amazing partner for the Eric Zane Show podcast, the Eufy Video Lock. Oh my gosh. Smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell 3-in-1 triple security. You got everything in one device, all right? Rather than install piecemeal, hoping that you got this app, that it's going to work okay in that app, and oh my God. This is not just for security, but also for convenience. No more worrying about losing keys. And you can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. So, you know, like they all have their codes. They walk up to the door. They punch it in. The door unlocks. In they go. And, of course, it's a video camera. So it's all there. You can see who shows up at your door. This is fantastic. We live in a golden age for home security. And the Eufy Video Lock is the top of the heap, okay? You can go to eufyofficial.com/videolock for more information. This thing is easy to install. The setup, all you need is a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling or anything like that. All the keyless entry components make it so fantastic. 0.3-second fingerprint recognition. Amazing. No battery anxiety. You've got the ultimate, I don't know what it is, super lithium whatever, that keeps this thing powered for a long, long time. No monthly fee on this, unlike other brands that do that. They just bend you over and charge you a monthly fee. I love the Eufy Video Lock. Get to eufyofficial.com/videolock. eufyofficial.com/videolock. All right, ladies and gentlemen, in my never-ending quest to bring you content of just about anything in the world, sometimes it involves going back into sometimes my far past, sometimes my recent past, and introducing you to people who I think are interesting and fun. And I think that the next person who you're going to hear from in this segment, well, the only other person besides me, I should say, is interesting and fun. He's kind of like a wild card. I would give this guy accolades of having a lot of unique talents, and I think that it's kind of been untapped. And I think the more people know about my guest, the better. So, ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to you Charles Cardin. Charles, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, friends.
Okay, now, Charlie's been a friend of mine. Well, first of all, I can call you Charlie, right? I've always called you Charlie.
Well, that's funny. I've abandoned Charles, largely.
Really?
Yeah, when I changed jobs, when I left the radio station, I thought, you know what? I'm going to start over. I'm going to be a Charlie.
You're going to be a Charlie. But have you ever been a Chuck? That's a big no-no, right?
Chuck's
a problem?
That is, you know that thing in high school people call you when they know you effing hate it?
Yeah, they would have had to call you, because if they called you Chuck, they would call you Butt F Chuck, because it rhymes with the alliteration, and it's nasty.
Very clever.
That's what they would do people named Chuck.
Yes. Because, you know, there's nothing more clever than high school jocks, really. The brain trust is beyond capacity.
I'm not going to lie. That's a fun alliteration. It all kind of works. Butt F Chuck. It's magical, actually. But
delightful.
That's something I might work into my repertoire.
Delightful.
Now, you mentioned,
very good.
You meant, now, and I know we're going to bounce around here, but and that's okay, because that's the way people talk. I first encountered Charlie. First of all, before I started working at Cumulus, had we ever interacted?
No, okay. No. I had been a fan of your old program. I moved back to GR in 06. I grew up here.
Okay.
Lived in Detroit after college till that time, and discovered your program and realized you were the funny one, and so I became a fan of yours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, can you just indulge me? What stands out from those days on Free Beer and Hot Wings that you were like, oh my God, this is great. I can't get out of the car. What? And it doesn't have to be about me. Just tell me what pops for you. What do you recall that was like substantial, that made you realize that show was what you wanted to listen to?
Well, you know, I would say, and I've heard someone else describe it this way, and it was probably you who said it was two straight guys doing radio, morning guy radio stuff, and then a guy who throws a shrapnel grenade in the middle of it, and that's you. And that's interesting.
Do you remember anything specific, though?
Oh, it's been a long time.
Anything like a Joe stunt? Because to me, the Joe stunts were always the most
PA pranks
memorable.
Were terrific. You know, Mr. IP Freely or whatever.
God. Yeah.
Mangina. I don't know. Now it's escaping me.
Man, those days with those stunts.
I think I'm a sadistic person because Joe would get, he would actually, God, he made me laugh. I miss him terribly.
He was really afraid of nothing, wasn't he?
I miss him terribly. And like he, when we rolled him down Charlie's dump here in Jenison in the tractor tire and his, oh, my knees. I mean, I could go back right now and watch that video and I would be laughing just as hard as the day it happened for reason. When that, well, he also did a bit called, we had him do a stunt called Reverse Tequila Stuntman.
Oh, God.
And Tequila Stuntman was, oh God, you do everything that you're supposed to do except the lime goes in your eyes. It would squeeze it into his eyes.
Oh my God.
So we had Joe snort the salt.
That was from Caddyshack. I watched that just the other day. He snorted the salt. Sucked on the lemon and threw the tequila over his shoulder.
Yeah, so he did the shot though. He did do the shot of tequila. And then we squeezed the lime. I squeezed the lime into his eyes. And my God.
That's not good.
And so I think all of the moments that he was injured, I think to me stand out as the most fun when he put Icy Hot on his ball sack. Now, I've had that happen to me. And even just a little bit of it is a terrible, painful thing. And I and no one in the room was aware of how devastating that product is. It's also you sometimes refer to it as Bengay, and it's got that deep heating action on it. And so I put a so much of it in, like a whole as much as you put on your face for shaving cream. That's how much I put it in there.
Christ.
And he didn't believe that it was going to be as bad as it really was. And man, when he there's a video of him. He goes, oh my gosh, it's starting to hurt. And then he freaks out, man. It was bad. So, you know, there was numerous times those moments to me were always the most fun. So you interacted, you first were exposed to the show, fast forward to 10 years from then.
Yeah, I wasn't, I had moved back to town. I was working for Chase Bank and then I left that gig and I was at Grand Rapids Press and then I was in and out of the industry. And in 2014,
right,
we came to work at Cumulus, which was... It was Cumulus at the time, but it had just changed from whatever the hell it was
Citadel.
Before that. There you go.
Citadel.
Revolving door of names that start with C.
And so Cumulus purchased the radio stations, and away you go. You're in there doing your thing, selling like the products were like the shows and the radio stations. You had five radio stations still then in 2014.
Yes.
You had LAV. You had BBL.
Yep. Nash.
Nash, which now is Thunder again.
Right, again, right. It had just changed, and you, on the street listening to people bitch, it was like, is that Thunder Country? Oh, whatever.
The long and the short of it is actually wasn't a bad stunt, as stunting goes in radio, when you try to get attention because you're doing something, and you... I mean, it seemed like a lot of people did talk about it when they switched over again, and then they ended up leaving 94.5 is not country.
Right.
And which nobody knew at the time. After I got fired, and then they put a different radio station on. But so for 2 years, you were selling. How long did you sell?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Now, I walked into the door in April of 2016.
Right. So I've been there almost 2 years.
I remember interacting with you, and Charlie was like all energetic and he's super. He's bouncing off the walls. I was like, this guy is like really fired up. And Charlie was like, oh, man, I'm so stoked to sell your name and your show. And
you were petrified. You were like, who is this gargantuan honky rolling up on me? Because I'm like a foot and a half taller than you are.
Right, right.
You were like, hello, Mr. Zane. I'm a big fan. You were like,
oh, my gosh. But I remember you and I used to go on like sales calls.
Yes.
What was some of the first? Some guy who he sells gutters. We would go on these sales calls together. We were kind of like a team.
Right.
And we'd go out and try to make it happen, move the meter.
Right.
I found out in the time early on that Charlie is extremely into a lot of things like Star Trek and Star Wars and comics.
Oh,
and
yes.
So we kind of have a shared interest because I'm actually really... I really was interested in that, but I kind of like stopped collecting and stuff like that. But you've been nonstop ever since you were a kid. In fact, Charlie does a podcast, another thing to talk about. Do you still do the...
Oh, yeah.
Still, okay.
Yeah, now 4.5 years running.
Okay. Super Friends.
200 episodes.
See if I can remember this. Super Friends Unite.
Very close. Not correct. Secret Friends Unite.
Damn it.
You were even, we even recorded a segment once together.
I know.
We did, and it was a featured in the show, and I could probably dig it up if I had to. Might even put some of this on the show. Who knows?
All right. I'm writing it down.
All right.
What's the best way to listen to it?
It is available on all your podcasting services, iTunes, Podbean.
Really?
Yeah, Stitcher. Oh, yeah. It's legit. It's quasi-legit.
Is there like a website that goes with that?
You know, we're active through Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, you got to get a website.
I know, but
sell some gear.
No, money.
Not that bad.
Money, yeah, well, you know, I can't get. We tried to do merch this summer and t-shirts and one sale.
Really?
So, yeah, yeah. Well, my partner got involved and he was, I have a local friend who does shirts and my partner was very particular about how he wanted it and I think it jacked the price up and it kind of queered the whole deal. But that probably means we probably shouldn't put this on my show because then he'll know I was talking smack about him.
Yeah, no. Yeah, if you want, I can always just edit it out.
No, that's okay.
Do, so as, yeah. You started a podcast literally from nothing.
Right. No, it was just, it was my best friend, Todd, was my college roommate. We've been best friends 25 years. He lives out in Minneapolis. That's where he ended up after he got out of the Air Force. And he said to me a fall back in 2014, a few months after I started Accumulus, hey, podcasting is a thing. And I was on a podcast for a while, blah, blah, blah. It's real easy. We used
Todd was. Okay.
And he said we used Google Hangouts at the time. Those transitioned into Skype. And he said it's real easy. We just talk to each other. We look at each other. We have a format. We follow it. We talk about news stories like every other schlub does out there. And then we publish the audio piece of it.
When you talk about news stories, you're talking about comic-related news
genre
stories.
News stories.
Genre
yeah,
news
TV,
stories. Comic,
yeah,
TV. Like that.
Yeah, exactly. And he talks about video games, but video games is not my scene. But yeah. I like those other things.
How deep do you go in terms of like the whole genre? I mean, what's the biggest? Because like Comic-Con isn't just about comics.
Well, yeah, not anymore.
You know, there's serial shows that are constant.
Right.
Like you think back when Walter White showed up, or what's his name? I don't even know the actor's name. Bryan Cranston.
Yeah,
when
you
he
go.
Showed up there, that was like the biggest thing in the world.
Well, geek culture is pop culture in this day and age. Since the dawn of the Marvel era, so now 10 years gone by, everybody is the us that was us when we were kids reading comics and, oh, you're fucking dweeb, blah, blah, blah. Now, that's everybody.
Exactly. And I think that people who are really into something, that's part of geek culture, correct?
Correct. Well, you know, the geek, you know, you and I have had this conversation on air because I was on your show a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
We even had some great guests on the Eric Zane Show, Denise Crosby.
What's the guy's name?
Julian Glover, whose name I was just going to space on.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I loved those two interviews. Those were great because you were affiliated with the Grand Rapids Comic Con.
Right.
And then brought those guests in from that event. So, yeah.
Right. You know, that was actually the thing I quit the radio station over. I went to Jeff and I said, hey, you know what? I'd like to work with Eric from time to time, and couldn't finish the sentence. And he said, no.
And Jeff is no longer there.
Oh, yeah, how unfortunate. That's just too bad. Eric, you see me grip my teeth? You can't. I know it's radio, not TV.
Charlie and Jeff didn't. They butted heads all the time. I actually got along pretty good with Jeff.
Well, you know, when you have a manager that doesn't support his employees' passions, he's not a good manager. I'm going on record. Suck it.
Oh. Yeah. You know, but now if you saw him again, would you just ignore him, or would you act like you like him? Would you put on airs? Or
throw a drink in his face, or would push him down a flight of stairs?
Well, you wouldn't really.
I was, you know what, live and let live. It's, you know, he's an older guy who got sacked for being bad at his job. Yeah. Isn't that punishment enough?
But you weren't fired. You actually
walked
on your own terms.
I left, which, you know, for better or for worse, I went to work for one company that started doing poorly and I got laid off, and I just got laid off again from the company that I found after that, which also appears to have been doing poorly. So I'm on the cusp of finding a new job.
So all sales.
All sales.
Okay, so let me just throw this out there before we get back to what we're talking about. And I expected this to go like this, and I'm totally fine with it.
It's what happens.
So you can sell anything. Is that what you want to do? Do you want to be a salesman?
You know,
what do you want to do?
It'll be 20 years in May that I graduated Michigan State. So I've been an adult, as you were, on my own. I was married at the time. I was a total moron. But I went to work, working in the family business, and I found my first sales job. And, again, coming from a sales background, my mom sold television advertising. My dad was a small business owner. He was a photographer. It's just what I've always done, you know. And so, yeah, it's kind of in my soul. But what I do, what all sales is ask a question, listen to the response, try to create a solution.
Mm-hmm.
Any job.
Yeah.
Any job. Your job is the same as someone who, you know, running a show, you're like, hey, I want more people to hear about my veterinary practice, which was another call you and I made a long time.
Right, Jenison, down the road here. Yeah, right over here.
Yeah, exactly. It was your guy. And so same thing. Hey, I want new patients. I want more blah, 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 blah. So again, what does Eric Zane have to offer
right. That
can make that happen? So problem, solution, problem, listening, getting mm-hmm. come out, solution.
Did we ever get one sale from any of those meetings? Do you recall?
Of course we did.
What?
We had your boy Jeff from Striders for a long time.
Yeah, yeah,
that was a good one. He spent some good money,
but Jeff had been on before. Striders had been on my old station.
Oh, okay.
So, but I meant any of the cold calls. They weren't cold calls. They may have been existing clients. Any of the ones that you and I went on, I don't know if we even got one.
In like 2.5 years, I'm sure. I'm sure one of them must have been. One of them must have been.
I don't know. Do you remember when I did a remote, my first remote?
Oh, that's what I'm wearing my gun pants today.
Okay.
You see this?
I forgot the name of the client.
511 Tactical Gear.
Yes.
And on Clyde Park. At Burton.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah.
Great neighborhood.
We were...
Oops, apologies to anyone who lives down
there. No. It was sketched.
Yeah,
it was
sure.
sketched to the max. And I'll tell you what. I think that may have... I don't know if I was ready to admit it at the time, but I think that may have been my first sense that this is going to be a very difficult ride trying to propagate an audience mm-hmm. at BBL. That was early on.
It was within a month.
That was, yeah.
And of course, I thought I was big. I'm hanging out with Eric Zane and we're on the road.
No one, no one came. Nobody.
We got one crazy guy.
Yes, I know exactly what that dude
was. Then a guy who was coming by anyway for whatever.
I was like, what am I doing wrong? I mean, it was a big deal when I got fired. It was a big deal when I got the job. So,
right.
And it was just, maybe that was the first sign. No, I take it back. The first sign was one weekend when weird things got even more weird than that.
Oh, you're talking about your original co-host?
Yeah.
That's, oh my. I did. You know, I don't know the details. I don't want to know the details, but I have a feeling.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Jesus. Holy cow. So much. Okay. So, Charlie, you just, we were talking about geek culture.
Yes.
And being into stuff. That whole genre is part of your podcast.
Correct. Correct.
Secret Friends Unite.
You didn't even look?
No.
You
no,
didn't even
I wrote
look.
It down just in case.
Look at that.
Now, what are we talking about? Because that is the hardest thing to do is to start from scratch with a podcast. I'm lucky. I had all these people that listened on the radio. So to be able to parlay it was a much easier process. You're starting from nothing. Tell me how you build that.
It was about a year before that we figured this out. We started a Facebook group, which is the easiest thing in the world, that we just called a geek discussion group. We said, hey, you know what? We'll post news stories. People can comment on them. We'll get some back and forth going. We'll share some memes because that makes people laugh. And, hey, add your friends and be active and share, and we'll grow this. So we started to grow this from, you know, our closest family relations or whatever, and then a couple of people here and there. And we kept it a closed group for the longest time, so it couldn't be searched, couldn't be found. We finally opened it up, and we went from like 400 people to 800 people. You know, people were finding us and searching us. And you get some coconuts along the way, people you got to kick out because they're, you know, Trump nuts or religious whack jobs.
They're not sticking with the genre.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, we found out recently a guy who was a real active participant was a right-wing nut job on his private Twitter, and so he had to go.
You can't have that.
You know, and our rule is no politics, no religion. But when you find out, even though somebody might not be talking politics on the group, when you find out that they're just a real whack job, you don't want them around
at
all.
Yeah,
you don't want to take the chance.
And that's back in, you said, 2014.
That would have been 2014. That would have been 2013
that
we started the group, and then the group somehow led itself to this podcast, and nothing behind it. No, you know, the cost for hosting is, you know, $6 a month or something. So that's the money that's being spent,
right?
You know, a couple bucks a year to get that done. And we're just doing it for giggle. And again, you know, my best buddy, he lives in Minneapolis. I live here. We get to hang out in person maybe once a year if we're lucky. So this is a chance to kind of interact every week.
Yeah.
You feel like we're still hanging out, like right. It's the old days. And so, yeah, I met him in the dorms, as so many friendships start, adult friendships start,
sure.
You know, as you get older, and, you know, found out that back in those days, the mid-90s, it was not cool to love comics and Star Wars and things of that nature. You were still a dweeb.
That was a stigma. So as time has gone, you've continued to do it. You've stuck with it. It's been fun. Enjoyed it. And you, no pressure.
No, none at all. I mean, and we've even had some moderate success bringing in guests, like genre guests. Like I interviewed a guy. I probably mentioned this when you and I talked on the radio back in the day. A guy named Ron Frenz out of Pittsburgh, who was an artist on The Amazing Spider-Man, the 1980s, my favorite book.
Right.
That was really cool. And he's an older guy in semi-retirement, lives in an apartment. You could see when we did Skype, he had, you know, stuff behind him and looked like he was a crazy old hermit.
So that's enormous for A, you, and B, the people who are into the genre.
Right, the 50 to 60 people who listen to our show every week. I mean, we don't even really hardcore track the numbers, but it's never been more than 100 or 150 people. Even though there's 900 people who subscribe to our group, there's a core group of 50 to 60 who are active. And so it's no great shakes. You know, we're not in it to make a living.
Nope. You're in it to do what you like to do. And that's, you know, that's sometimes hard to find. There is a, let me see if I can keep this together, because it's all part of your wheelhouse, whether it be a film like Aquaman or a film like Captain Marvel.
Oh, yes.
Or the books that are associated with these and on and on and on. Did you see the Aquaman film?
I did.
Now, a lot of people, that made a lot of money.
Sure.
It made like a Black Panther amount of money. I did not see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like most people had good things to say about this film. Do you have good things to say about this film?
You know, I felt really, we did a spoiler cast, which we do for one of these big films, and we brought in one of our regulars who's like, I'm a Marvel zombie, he's a DC zombie. So he's like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I was like,
yeah.
I was the Debbie Downer about it. It just didn't really grab me.
In those films, in the genre, what can ruin it for you? Is it cheese? Is it schmaltz? Is it bad story?
And I know this is bad to say because all the films are, you know, just jam-packed with CGI, but nothing in that film in particular felt genuine to me, I guess, beyond looking at that CGI piece, the script or the costuming. Like the chick had a red wig that looked like it was straw. And I'm like, there was nothing. It was like, did they just CGI her face onto a robot body? I just thought it looked
ridiculous. So those types of things.
Right. The reason that movie really made all those dollars is people really enjoyed seeing Jason Momoa without a shirt on.
Jason Momoa without a shirt on, yeah.
Come on.
I mean, the guy is incredible.
They're like, the girl, you know, the wives and the girlfriends are, let's go see Aquaman again.
Yeah, every seat sat on by a woman stinks. The dry cleaning bill for every theater must have been through the roof.
Let's see if we can get a reference from that from the good folks at Celebration Cinema. Hopefully not.
Okay. Now there's one more Avengers movie.
Right.
And
3-hour epic.
Yes.
That's what the
news
is.
When does that hit?
That'll be April 26th.
Oh, it's that close?
Oh, yeah. Well, we get Captain Marvel on the 8th of March.
And that's it. Marvel, Captain Marvel, and then the Avengers film. Because the Captain Marvel, we need the backstory, how she came to be.
Right.
And how she's going to save the day.
And it's set in the past, in 1995, ironically enough, which is when I started my podcasting career, ironically, because that's when I met my buddy. So that's kind of weird.
Wait a minute. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's when you met these people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that movie looks really good.
I think so.
The trailer looked excellent. I haven't seen, is there a trailer that has been released for the Avengers film? The second
There was a trailer in early December, so I would Google that up. It's pretty impressive.
Oh, man.
And there was another one with the Super Bowl, which gave you a little bits and pieces.
Yeah, no,
there really was.
Too much.
The thing that I find with these Marvel films, particularly with these trailers, is that they throw a lot of red herrings in there, stuff that doesn't happen. Really well evidenced by in the last Avengers movie, they have that big running scene where everybody's running at the camera.
Yes.
And in the back, the Hulk is running. The Hulk was not in that part of the movie.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. You see?
Wow. Yeah, you always pick that stuff out, man. What do you love more, these types of films or Star Trek, Star Wars?
Star Trek is my passion.
That's your number one thing.
I would even put Star Wars below Marvel at that point.
Okay.
Even though I started reading Marvel Comics with the old Star Wars, when I was six in 1982. Picked up that first issue in a
Notre
Dame pharmacy in the Village in Grosse Pointe, my hometown.
Oh, gosh. Got it down. The term Trekkie, is that a problem?
I think the preferred term is Trekker. But
really?
I think it's
I've never heard that.
I think it's a hair to be split. It's
okay.
It's kind of foolish.
So let's go back to the old school Star Trek.
Okay.
Thumbs up, thumbs down.
I've actually been binging it within the last 3 weeks.
But you've seen them all before.
It's been a while. But yeah, no, because I was raised on Star Trek The Next Generation. I was 11 when that show came out, so very impressionable and just fell in love with it. But even prior to that, I was raised on those movies with that old Kirk Spock McCoy cast. And so that's what really got me into the mix. Star Trek 2, 3, 4, the one with the whales, you know, Khan. So, yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, I saw the very first Star Trek film with the bald chick.
Voyager, the whole
Viger Voyager.
The Star Trek The Motion Picture. Very misunderstood film. It's on a level that most people can't dig.
When I saw it when I was young, I didn't know what the hell was going on. And then I remember everybody saying that movie sucks. So, yeah, you're right. I don't know what the hell's going on. I think that sucked.
Yeah, right. You see the peer pressure. I get it.
So there's that. And then Khan was, I don't know what happened, but I loved Khan.
Everybody did. That's the one that people say, oh, Khan, that's the one. Because, yeah, it's just a lot of great moments in that film.
How about the old TV series, the one you're watching right now?
You
had seen that, right? Oh,
of course. No, I first saw that, you know, because you're from Detroit like I am. TV 50 had it.
Yes.
And it was because it was the very early 80s. I was born in 76. So let's say this was 80 or 81. It was on in syndication from the early 70s on. So it was on at, you know, after the 6 o'clock news or, you know, Saturday at 2 p.m. or something. So you just turn it on any old
time.
And you're seeing bits and bits. As a kid, you know, you just get little flashes of memory. So my first Star Trek memory was from the very first episode where Kirk is fighting his buddy who has these godlike powers, Gary Mitchell, his buddy. And then he's fighting him on this rock face and they're throwing rocks at each other. And it's just very 60s. But I remember that. I was probably 5 or 6.
So is it the nostalgia? Or do you look at it and go, God, this is great? Because they're corny as hell.
You know, that's a very good point. And I would say that has been my hang up with the original series for the longest time. But if you go back, like I'm in the third season right now, which all the episodes are bad because they were at the very, it was a 3-season show. Yeah.
Like 3 seasons?
Yeah. They were at the very end of the show. Their budget was cut to nothing. Their, you know, directing talent was cut to nothing. Everything sucked by season 3. But in season 1, I always tell people this, season 1 of Star Trek, the original series had 30 episodes. Which shows, most shows these days have 13.
Yeah.
If you watch anything on Netflix.
Yes, sure.
30 50-minute episodes.
Man.
Okay. And they had, you know, some of the absolute best. The one with Khan was in that first season. The one with Joan Collins was in that first season. Some of these scripts were just absolutely rock solid, fantastic. When you get into season 2, it's kind of hit or miss. Season 3 is generally pretty bad, you know. But they had, I mean, they had real writers doing that show.
Jesus, so corn though. I mean,
but yeah, well, Shatner is, you got to appreciate the way he does.
Yeah,
things.
And he's something, man. The guy's a handful.
Absolutely,
always has been.
Absolutely. But again, you know, Next Generation is kind of my jam. Commander Riker is my guy.
Yes.
Meeting him, I even paid
you
for
an met him.
I'm going to meet him.
You're going to meet guy who played Riker.
I'm going to Motor City Comic Con in Southfield or Novi in May. Purchased our tickets and also purchased, first time in my entire life, an autograph. Never done that before.
So,
but I've always wanted to meet
this
man.
The way it is you do this in advance, and then you're in the line, and then he'll sign something flat.
I do a photo op or something like that. I'd have to check paperwork, but something like that, yeah.
What is that guy, what has he been doing lately? What is his real name?
Jonathan Frakes.
Okay.
He has, like many, many people who have gotten out of acting, he directs, and he has a vibrant career. He lives in Maine.
Nice.
Of all places.
Nice.
Just directed an episode of the current Star Trek series, Star Trek Discovery, which you may or may not have seen.
I've heard about it. Is that on CBS?
Yeah, CBS All Access.
CBS All Access.
Okay. Wonderful show. You know, people will piss and moan about, it's a paywall. It's like $6 a month. Give me a friggin' break. Wow. You know, don't buy 2 lattes at Starbucks and shut your face because it's worth it. No, I'm serious. It's a good program.
And anyone else who's bitched to me about the Patreon, putting it behind the paywall there, just remember what Charlie just said. I've had a few people say, I'm no longer subscribing. I'm no longer listening to the free material because you're charging. And I'm like, dude, do you realize this is what I have to do to survive?
Well,
you don't have to. I'm giving it to you free.
Right. This is the thing, and Oxford and I have talked about this on the show a lot. Content isn't free. Okay? Traditional forms of advertising, sorry, radio and TV, are eroding. There has to be other streams of revenue.
Yes.
And that's how things are going to be produced.
We're cutting out the middleman by asking the consumer to, and if they like it.
Pay cable's been doing it for years. HBO, yeah. You know, you get superior programming.
When I set this up, my first thing was I can't not have free content every day. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, then I'll do two.
Yeah.
I'll do the free one. And then if they like it and want more, they can do it at their own accord.
Right.
That was always the model.
Right.
And I still. So if I put out 5 hours a week of free material, mm-hmm. that's not good enough to some. I've had probably, I can only count on one hand how many people have bitched. But I'm like, you don't get it, do you? What is wrong with you?
We have this guy, and I won't name him because you never know who's listening, on our group. And he's a guy who lives in my neighborhood. Old school Star Trek fan, so he's an older guy. He's a doctor. And right. He's like, well, I absolutely will not pay $70 a year for CBS All Access. I'd rather spend that money on Marvel Unlimited, which is a series I subscribe to.
It's all the titles online.
It's everything that Marvel has from the past, which I also subscribe to, which is also $70
a year. And the past?
And largely
everything.
The past.
Wow.
I wouldn't say absolutely everything. It's things they have license to. Like, things they don't own license to on Marvel Unlimited, they don't publish. Like, the old G.I. Joe Marvel comics from the 80s that I love, they don't have those because another company owns a license. But anyway, getting back to this guy, I'm like, dude, despite the fact that you're a doctor and I'm sure you have $70, you're bitching about the paywall. This is, you're showing your age because you're saying you're such a late adapter to the way the entertainment industry is moving,
right?
Which is away from traditional media. Netflix, Hulu, you know, DC Universe,
Amazon
which
Prime.
Is there. Yeah, Amazon Prime. Disney Plus, which we're going to have at the end of this year.
Yep.
That's the future of media. That is the way things are going to be. Like it or lump it.
Yeah, and I certainly see it. You know, you get people like me who go into this kicking and screaming.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I'm in the water, I'm like, I like it here.
Yeah, right.
This is fun.
Right.
Okay, so you get to meet this guy. Are you gonna be okay? I mean, this is like this is the tip top for you, right?
Well, the other thing is, and I haven't really dug into it, is that my wife and I, my wife April and I, we've been married. It'll be 5 years this July.
I just love her, by the way. She's fantastic.
I couldn't disagree. We are avid and now part of a professional organization of cosplayers. We do it for real.
How long ago did you get into that?
2 months.
Really?
Brand spanking new. Yeah,
because I've
yeah.
seen you get in gear before.
Yeah. Yeah, you have just for giggles.
Yeah.
Just for giggles. But now, no, we're part of a group, a statewide group. I'll give them a plug. The League of Enchantment is the name of the group. A charitable 503C
sure.
organization. The real
Children's
deal.
Hospital visit, yep. the whole deal, all yes. those things.
But we're statewide. You know, we our main hub is in Central Michigan, Lansing area. We have several people here in West Michigan, several people over in the Detroit area. And we're growing, approaching 100 members statewide.
Hey, look at that.
So we're blowing up. And, you know, I've got about 7 or 8 costumes. I just submitted 2 last night.
What do you mean you submitted 2?
Well, you know, we have a board that does approvals for costumes that are acceptable to wear at events.
If it's not up to snuff, you're back to the drawing board.
Somebody looks at it and says, oh, you know what? I don't think that looks
not
good.
Not authentic enough.
You know, so I submitted an Agent Coulson, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the
okay.
Captain Marvel premiere, which I'm going to take.
Okay, I remember that guy.
Yeah, right here in town. We're going to be, I think, on March 8th or 9th, we're going to be out at the Celebration South. Doing an event for a couple of hours, and so I'm going to be there as Agent Coulson. And the other one was, you'll love this, as a kid from the 70s, Solomon Grundy from the Super Friends.
Oh, my gosh,
I did.
Yes.
I took a suit and a shirt, and I took a pair of scissors, cut them up. I didn't put on the white makeup. I've got to get the white makeup, but I submitted it. I'm just waiting to hear back if they pass muster. And then earlier in the week, I submitted
Wait a minute. You got to get in the gear. They take a picture. You send it in?
Yeah. I just have April take stamps on my phone, and I just send it in.
Have you ever sent one in that they went, oh, this sucks?
Not so far. I mean, we know we're cool like that. So, but earlier in the week, this is going to
be. What if it happens?
Yeah.
Is it going to ruin your day? I mean,
if
at like 9 a.m. you put together this.
You're like, this is crap.
You send it in, and you're like, you would be waiting throughout the day, waiting to hear back. Like,
yeah,
with
right.
anticipation, yes.
Like, oh, man, this is going to be, can I wear this
wow.
or whatever? And they shoot me down. And my one before that was the, we're talking about original Star Trek series, the classic red shirt. So that's going to be a fun one at shows. Because everybody, you know, the, you
yeah,
know,
the guys that always die.
The guys
right?
that always die, yeah. But mine is, it was a Scotty's uniform, you know, and I have a communicator and a phaser to go with it. So.
All right.
And it's just me, you know. I mean, I was thinking about getting a wig or maybe rinsing my hair. I don't know. I got gray hair like you do, so.
Yes.
That doesn't always apply. Works yeah. for Solomon Grundy, though, because,
sure.
he's, you know, he's dead. So that's not so bad.
He's a zombie.
He's a zombie, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So we covered the Star Trek thing. Star Wars is big, too. And then film. You're a film nut, a film trivia pro.
I would say so. I would say, yeah, we threw down, you and me, about the Star Wars trivia. That I mean, that Star Wars Trivial Pursuit is pathetic. The actual game. But we did right. take a crack. But, yeah, I'm pretty well versed, really, in films in general. You know, they say everybody has kind of a useless superpower. Mine is the ability to remember, like, dates and things like that. So you say, hey, what year did, you know, Armageddon come out? Summer of 1998. What year wow. did, you know, what year did Terminator 2 come out? Summer of 1991. You know, I just remember just dumb stuff.
So do you participate in, like, trivia events for this, or is it?
I haven't. No, the most events I participate in usually are karaoke, because I like to sing as well. But I would love to. No, I'd love to. I've never really fell in with a trivia group. But
right, right.
Probably Slay, without a doubt.
Man. Okay, so what's next for you, man? You're kind of on the beach right now. I mean, here we are. You got a lot of time on a day like today. You said, hey, now that I'm completely free, let's finally get together.
Yeah,
so
right.
here we are.
Yeah, I did. I had a second interview, going to be a third interview later this week for another sales job, which I think I'll get, you know, and then I'll be back to work.
Nice.
Slinging. Don't want to jinx it.
When you got fired, or laid off, I should say.
Oh, yeah, this was a great story.
Okay.
But you finish asking your question.
Well,
I apologize.
Like when I got fired from the first time here in Grand Rapids, that was super bad. And then
right.
when I got fired from Cumulus, I had already been toying with this idea, so it wasn't as bad.
Right.
And I didn't really get, I tweeted about it. I actually was more upset when YouTube banned me for 90 days for broadcast. The Super Bowl was on.
Oh, no.
And I put that on a YouTube live stream.
Ooh.
And was making comments about it. And they caught wind and banned me. So,
the FCC has eyes everywhere.
Yes.
They do.
So I was more bummed about that than the actual firing.
Right.
But when you got, when it happened to you, I mean, how did it go?
It was exactly a week. Today's Monday, right?
Yeah.
It was exactly a week ago today, almost at this exact time.
Wow.
So weird. And you know what? The circumstances between what happened to me and what happened to you, almost exactly the same. I was home in bed sick. I had the flu. I had just gotten back from a week-long trip, industry trade show in Florida with everyone in the company. I was having lunch at a table with my boss in the Orlando airport 48 hours before I got this phone call. Caught the flu, as did several others, from one of the guys on the trip. So I got home Sunday at 1 a.m., got into bed, in bed all day Sunday, in bed all day Monday, 4 o'clock comes around, saw the boss called, call him back. I'm like, dude, I'm home in bed with the flu. He's like, well, call me if you can. It's important. I'm like, oh, what the
uh-huh.
F? So I called him and said, hey, man, doesn't really look like we're going to be able to keep Michigan going full time, so I got to let you go, man. Just hate to make these calls. I'm like, dude, I don't even know how much money you spent just for me. To be down there to fly me down and put me up and drink dinner and drinks, blah, blah. And then you have a meeting Monday morning and figure out that you can't keep me on anymore.
So was that quick? Or when he was taking you to the trade show, you weren't on the radar?
I let a handful of the clients that I work with know. And they were like, God, we had absolutely no idea. You got to be kidding me.
Oh, boy.
Nobody could believe it. And I'm not naming any names. It's always a bad idea. But I was absolutely I went from being flabbergasted and then I was still sick to just being absolutely furious the rest of the week. Being like, how do they?
I've never seen you mad. I've never. No, I think I might have seen you upset once.
I wasn't kicking and screaming, but I probably drank a little more whiskey than I do most days.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that'll happen.
Kind of take the edge off a little bit. I was pretty, because I'm like, how does something like this go down?
Right.
You know, these.
Yeah.
But the company I kind of come to realize is kind of irresponsible with their money, and this is probably not the end of it for them.
Yeah,
you know, so I feel like I'm better off.
You know, it's all a matter of and I you're the type of guy that moves his feet quite a bit, so
got
you know,
to shuffle feet. So like I said, I think I've got a bead on something, and I'll probably have a job by the end of this week.
Yes,
I ain't crying.
Nice, man. I'm glad to hear that. Well, you know what? I'm I have enjoyed, thoroughly enjoyed having the conversation with you. Getting, I mean, a lot of people who listen on BBL will remember your voice. They'll remember you were known for a little bit as Captain Middle America.
Probably still. Your old partner, Julius.
Yes.
What
yes.
the hell's that guy doing these days?
Julius, he just left. That's all I know.
Yeah, that's what I remember. He was just, I gotta go.
Yeah,
he was like Poochie from The Simpsons.
Never, my home to be seen again. Just, I knew that's the way it was going to be. The guy did not want to be there at all, ever.
From day one. I would love to have had that job. I would love to have had a career in radio. Yeah. That's always been a dream of mine. But here we are.
He always did a good job in terms of the nuts and bolts.
Nuts and bolts.
And then, but you could just tell if he had a fork, he would have buried it in your head. He just seemed like he was pissed at everybody.
Pot boiling of hatred.
This was a guy who I think radio ate him up, and what may have been an optimistic view of things, I think it burned away. And that's a bummer.
That happened in that environment. I mean, it burned me up. I mean, just how enthusiastic I was. Just, you know, you get kind of pissed on one time too many. And
right. I never felt that way there. Yeah. I always felt like everything was great. And that's the way to go. Because, you know, I mean, if you're going to get fired, you don't want to be walking up to it for weeks and months on end thinking you're terrible or everybody hates you or something like that. And they might have, but I didn't pay attention to any of that. Right. I was so focused on that show. And then I was bummed when we got the plug pulled.
Oh, geez.
But then in hindsight, I'm like, I can see why they pulled the plug. I absolutely do.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that that was in the works for an extended period of time to switch the formats. I really believe that.
You had a complete regime change at that station. Everybody's different now.
Yeah, and I think that I think, and it, I often think back to the interactions I had with people who I knew were the decision makers in the whole process.
In the know and didn't want to let you know.
Didn't want to let me know.
Sure, Eric.
Oh God,
it's okay, buddy. Yeah, awkward. We'll talk about that next week. Wink.
All right. Well. Look, I'm looking forward to hearing more from you. You got to come back. I want to hear if you creamed him when you meet a dude from Star Trek, Riker. I need to know that.
Hopefully not literally. Oh my God!
So you got to make sure you come back.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Charlie Carden.
Thank you.
Secret Friends Unite. You can find it anywhere. Just search it.
Yes.
You're going to hit it, right?
iTunes, Stitcher, what it, Google it, Facebook. There's a group and a podcast page. Always accepting new members. Just send us a note. Say I'd like to join.
Sounds great. All right.